You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 12th, 2021. She's not happy. She's not happy. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi lecturing reporters today, saying you're not doing a good enough job. What? She said that you can do a better job, frankly, you could do a better job of selling President Biden's Build Back Better plan. There's your proof. If you had any doubt, we now have a state-controlled media. There you have it. So now watch what happens now that she has gone fully public, said her quote exactly here. Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you. Every time I come here, I go through the list. It's hard to break through when you have such a comprehensive package. So now we watch, folks. Just sit back and watch. All the reports will blossom and flower, and they'll be smelling great, and they'll be so fragrant and full of more of the Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and AOC and the rest of them nonsense. But they'll help do a better job of selling it because they've been called out. In the meantime, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas has ordered Immigration and Customs Enforcement to immediately stop any mass worksite deportation raids. In the memo to the ICE director, he said the deployment of mass worksite operations sometimes results in simultaneous arrest of hundreds of workers. We need to stop it. Well, you know why they're being arrested, because they're here illegally. But again, this administration does not recognize our border. They keep mouthing the borders closed. Those coming across the border say, I don't think so. And we got caravans still coming from Haiti and elsewhere. And they're not being tested for COVID while everyone else is under mandates, right? And we're not really vetting them. We don't really know who's coming in. And we have caught several from the Middle East coming across our southern border. I'm telling you, and I pray I'm wrong, but there will be a day a phone call will be made, and terror cells across this nation will swing into action. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who wants to be governor, of course, stepping forward and shutting down an elite school, the Gifted and Talented program, which required children to be tested 4 years of age for admission and help them get a chance to get really far ahead in life. He wants it phased out by fall 2022. Bill de Blasio is folding because folks are saying this is very exclusive, gifted groups, mostly white people, so he's going to shut it down. Both of Bill de Blasio's children, now in their 20s, went through that same school. All right, we know folks are getting upset about the COVID mandates and restrictions, be it a mask or getting a vaccine. The Brooklyn Nets now saying they're not going to allow Kyrie Irving to participate in any team activities until he gets the vaccine, period. They said he made a personal choice. We respect his right, but therefore he's not going to be able to play. And folks are getting it pushed a little bit too far. They're acknowledging it. And another incident documented off of United Airlines flight to L.A., a belligerent passenger was threatening bodily harm to anyone when he was told repeatedly, you have to put your mask back on. He said, I'm not going to. The guy said to some of the people that wanted to put his mask on, I'll find your name, date of birth, and address. I'll get your Social Security number before we get off this plane. Plyer got mad because flight attendant asked him to keep his mask on four different times. He said that was four times too many. In Wyoming, a 16-year-old student talking about she was arrested at school because she refused to wear a mask on school grounds. Refused. So they arrested her. And from Florida, a mother did not want to leave the bedside of her daughter, who's recuperating after brain surgery. This had nothing to do with COVID. It's just that they had visiting hours or over at 7. So the 70-year-old mother was arrested and put in jail because she wouldn't leave. We got to put an end to some of this crap.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Can you guarantee that the job will be done to make sure, to guarantee this will never happen again?
Well, I can guarantee you that we're going to do everything humanly possible. Among those of us on the committee, there is no daylight. We are determined to get to the truth. We're determined to expose the awful truth, what led up to January 6th, the president's role in it, and anyone else, including members of Congress. And we'll do what it takes to get there.
And we will get to the bottom of it. And we will continue talking about the insurrection on January 6th. I feel compelled to say this every time because if you're not a regular listener of this program, you might think I endorse and support what happened on the Capitol Hill January 6th. I do not. And many of those who were arrested and supposedly facing insurrection charges, they haven't been charged with any insurrection. In fact, I don't know if anyone's charged actually with insurrection. Some have been charged with trespassing, some with stealing, some vandalism. And those who were taking part in doing those things, they were wrong. Others who just saw the doors were open, they went on in, and they decided to kind of walk around, and they were obviously caught on video. So the fallout effort has been to hunt them all down and make them pay because of what happened. Because members of Congress, even AOC, said, I felt threatened. I thought they're going to kill me. She wasn't even in the Capitol. You do know that. She was in her office, which is adjoining the Capitol. She wasn't in the Capitol building. She was not on the chamber floors. Don't let that little fact bother you, though. So the Democrats, now this Nancy Pelosi hearing that they're going to move forward, They're bound determined to get to the bottom of this, and they're looking to put all the blame, obviously, on anyone who has any question whatsoever about the election. Any question about the election. They are going to ignore, by the way, in the past, how many times Democrats have questioned the election. There's a great piece I'm going to share with you here in a few minutes that is appearing in The Federalist that says, it was written by William Doyle. It says the 2020 election wasn't stolen. Oh, see, Larry, see, it wasn't stolen. No, you wait, let me finish. Let me finish before you start judging. It says the 2020 election wasn't stolen. It was bought by Mark Zuckerberg. According to this article appearing in The Federalist, during the 2020 election, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg spent hundreds of millions of dollars to turn out likely Democrat voters. But it was not traditional political spending. Again, according to the article, he funded a targeted private takeover of government election operations by nominally nonpartisan but demonstrably ideological nonprofit organizations. Apparently, a team for The Federalist did a full survey and look at these vote margins that Biden had in key swing states. And they say we can now see the 2020 election was not stolen. It was probably purchased by one of the world's wealthiest men because of the money he was pouring in through legal loopholes to make some of this happen. And again, it's pointed out, this is not a matter of Democrats outspending Republicans. This was a group called the Center for Technology and Civic Life and the Center for Election Innovation and Research. They were used to pass $420 million of Zuckerberg's money into local government election offices, but it came with strings attached. Each grant had great detail under the conditions of which the grant could be used. So if you wanted the money, you had to do certain things. For instance, it points out, they described, you won't vote navigators. They use them in Wisconsin. Vote navigators would assist voters potentially at their front doors to answer questions, assist in ballot curing, witness absentee ballot signatures. All of this and pushing again for more mail-in voting and more unmonitored private drop boxes. If you among those across the country want to get some of that Zuckerberg money into your hands, into some of your people, well, then you're going to have to follow these little rules and guidelines set down. But Adam Schiff, as he's being interviewed there on MSNBC by Mika Brzezinski, said, can you guarantee we're not going to have this kind of thing happen we saw January 6th again? And, of course, the point being, and the point they're trying to put in your face, is that it happened because many Americans believe the election was stolen, was fraudulent, or however you want to phrase it. And, yes, I am among those that, yeah, I have a lot of questions about this election. And we are changing rules, but, of course, if you listen to the left, we're not changing rules to make it better. We're changing rules to make sure people can't vote, which is absolutely wrong. We're not doing that. But they sell the lie as long as they can. Adam Schiff is using all of this, and the timing couldn't be better, as they open up this January 6th hearing and this select committee. Because he has out a new book. And it's titled Midnight in Washington, How We Almost Lost Our Democracy and Still Could. And it has a lot to do with what happened January 6th. Now, riddle me this. This is a legislator serving chair of this House Intel Committee. as appointed by Nancy Pelosi to oversee an investigation into January 6th and what happened. And he's got a book out that already says midnight in Washington. Now, we almost lost our democracy and still could. He's already made up his mind. You know that. I know that. We all know it. But then when he appears with his state-controlled media partners and friends, they ask the good softball-type questions, and they give him an opportunity to talk about the horror, the sheer terror that was being faced by members of Congress that day, and then even after it was over. Oh, just listen to this.
Even after the insurrection, when we went back to that chamber with blood still on the floor outside where Ashley Babbitt was shot and police officers were beaten, they were still back at it trying to overturn a Democratic election, trying to undermine our democracy as if nothing had happened. And to me, that is unforgivable. And in so many ways, January 6th changed a lot of things in America, but also changed how we looked at our colleagues in Congress.
With a suspicious eye is what he's trying to say. It changed how we look at our members of Congress. Yes, those like Ted Cruz, who still said, "Now I still have questions about this election." And Arkansas Senator Cotton, who has always been close to Trump, because of that January 6th event and some of the events since then, there's been a separation. I think Senator Cotton is a very strong conservative senator, but that doesn't mean we can't have some disagreements. And he is not as demonstrative as Senator Cruz and others are about how this election was, quote, stolen, or maybe according to the Federalist article, bought. But they're going to do everything they can to continue to use this, and they want all the attention focused on it for a number of reasons. One, of course, they think somewhere in the midst of all this, it's going to scare the American people, so 2022 will not be so much up for grabs, that in fact it will be a demonstrative outburst of support for Democrat values and all of its benefit packages, free money here and free money there, and that you will go along with it. And it will set the stage for 2024 for sure, and more election fraud possibilities, mail-in, ballots, extending hours, extending days for the elections. Because, again, Adam Schiff has already decided midnight in Washington, how we almost lost our democracy, and we still could. And he says there are those out there even now that are plotting another, well, he's not going to say an insurrection, so I don't want to put words in his mouth. But you can hear it. You can hear it in between his words. Listen.
As a member of the January 6th Select Committee, I have to acknowledge there could be another violent attack on the Capitol, but the greater danger, frankly, to the country is what's going on around the nation. People pushing the former president's big lie about the election, ushering in a whole new slate of laws to strip independent elections officials of their duties and give them over to partisan boards.
Huh. Now, that's very interesting. That's very interesting, especially in the fact that he says, stripping various powers, giving them to nonpartisan boards and politicians. And I just told you how the Federalist had documented that $420 million from Mark Zuckerberg went into various areas to turn out more Democrat voters. Those grants going to cities and counties in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Virginia, 26 of those grants were $1 million or larger. 25 going to areas Biden won in 2020. And the money spent per voter to make sure we get them turned out. The funds were used to boost Democrat voting in Green Bay to something like $47 per voter. In other words, spending $47 to make sure you get voters to the poll that are going to vote Democrat. Rural areas, $4. We don't expect them to vote Democrats, so we're not going to make any effort. So when Adam Schiff says we could still lose our democracy, that these Trump people out there and others are still saying the election was stolen and was fraudulent, and we might again have another insurrection, which is a lie. There was no insurrection. There was only one gun confiscated. One. It was never pulled out and used. And there was only one person killed that day. That was it. Ashley, as she tried to crawl through that broken window, and a Capitol security guard shot her, not knowing what was in her backpack. The others were health-related. You talk about continuing to sell a lie, there's a lie, and the facts are very clear. And in the meantime, another reason they want you to focus on this, because they're trying their very best to get this $3-plus trillion package passed without you seeing it go through. And, oh, yes, get into your bank account. And Nancy Pelosi says, we have every right to. Stand by. So we were discussing this January 6th commission hearings, the select committee, looking at what really happened with January 6th. I've got a guest coming up in the next segment who says the January 6th commission is all about suppressing freedom of speech, is not really looking for any answers, is trying to suppress speech and frighten anyone who might speak out on referencing past elections or coming elections. And I also told you the Democrats want to use it to distract from what they're trying to do anyway, the other issues they have to deal with, such as, oh, I don't know, Afghanistan? Maybe thousands coming across our border on a continuous basis, not being vetted, much less treated for COVID and spreading it around the nation while demanding you get vaccinated or lose your job. And also there's one other little thing. It's very small, very small. $3.5 trillion package they're trying to get pushed through. Anything they can do to draw attention away from that. And if you were listening earlier, I told you that Nancy Pelosi was berating reporters, saying you're not doing a good enough job helping us sell Build Back Better America with our $3.5 trillion package. So you now watch and watch how the state-controlled media rushes in and makes things happen for her. But here's something else. A lot of folks have had, if they don't know much at all about the bill, they have heard the banks would have to report information on any account in your bank that involves $600 or more. You have a car payment amount that much? Good for you that you could afford a car like that, but, or a mortgage, or you're paying a doctor's bill. Any $600 transaction going in or out of your account would be subject to IRS review. And Nancy Pelosi says it's going to stay. She said, yes, there are concerns some people have. But if people are breaking the law and not paying their taxes, this is one way to track them through the banking measure. And I think $600 is a regulation that will stay. We might change the amount. She did add that. That's probably what's going to happen. But her remark, if people are breaking the law, not paying their taxes, one way to track is through the banking measure. You know, that brings to mind Al Sharpton and his debt to the IRS. Even CNN reported that a jury acquitted Sharpton of 67 counts of tax evasion, larceny, and fraud in 1989. But he had 67 counts? What? I guess it was nothing in the midst of that smoke. In 93, he did plead guilty to a misdemeanor charge for failing to file state taxes. In 2014, New York Times wrote an extensive article about his other tax obligations. During phone interviews in 2014, Sharpton said he was able to pay down a lot of his outstanding balances. He said the New York Times article was not exactly right. The New York Post reported just in 2019 that Sharpton has paid off his personal state tax debt, yet still owes nearly $700,000 in back taxes for three of his companies. And yet they want to go into your account and check every $600 transaction in your bank account because you might be using that to evade taxes? Come on, man. As Biden said, come on, man. That doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't. USA Today confirming two tax warrants for $492,000. Filed for Sharpton were satisfied May 9, 2018, and another 2019. I wonder how many other cases like that exist. Now, I want you to keep in mind, you can do everything you can to avoid paying taxes. That's fair. That's legal. Tax evasion is something different. I'm not saying Sharpton was tax evading. I'm just saying they're going to look at you and try to figure out what you're doing, reference your $600 and how you're spending it and how you're trying to take advantage of people. Coming up, John Daniel Davidson of The Federalist. January 6th Commission is trying to suppress freedom of speech.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the timing is just perfect for Adam Schiff, Congressman, Democrat, California, and the release of his new book, Midnight in Washington, How We Almost Lost Our Democracy and Still Could, all reference to January 6th, as they call it, the insurrection. And now Nancy Pelosi's January 6th Select Committee ready to move forward with the investigation. But hold on. Don't rush into judgment here. Joining us now, John Daniel Davidson, executive editor and contributor to The Federalist. John, welcome aboard first.
Thanks for having me.
I'm looking at a piece you wrote, just came out today, and you say the purpose of the January 6th Select Committee is to suppress free speech. The message is clear. If you exercise your First Amendment rights for a cause that those in power have not approved, you will be targeted. So you're saying this January 6th thing is hocus pocus and falsely labeled fake news.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the purpose of it is to target people who spoke up about their concerns with the election, with the 2020 election. And we know that now because the third round of subpoenas issued by the committee last week target individuals who applied for and received permits from the U.S. Capitol Police to hold rallies on the Capitol grounds on January 6th. So these are not people who were involved in storming the Capitol. They're not people who have been arrested or charged with any crime. They were simply there along with tens of thousands of other people on the Capitol grounds. It's a huge area. There were multiple rallies that were permitted and scheduled for January 6th.
And one of them, involved the group called Stop the Steal, and they did apply for and get a permit, correct?
That's right. And one of the people who is associated with that permit, who was trying to help organize this event and a few other events, I talked to back in January, about a week after the riot there, along with a whole bunch of other people who were there that day, people who had traveled there from their homes, some from very far away, to protest and to peacefully gather and make their voices heard on January 6th. And these are the people that the corporate media and Democrats and big tech want to lump together with the several hundred people who actually stormed into the Capitol by force. But by and large, the vast majority of the people who were on the Capitol grounds on January 6th were peaceful. They were there peacefully. And the events that were planned there that day were permitted and approved.
And in fact, some of those who were actually filmed, documented inside the Capitol, if they were doing anything wrong of any type, they were either linked to Antifa or groups that, you know, they may or may not have had some link to voting for Trump or Trump supporters, but they were not active. They were not. In fact, they had many of them planned event even before Trump showed up to make his speech. Isn't that correct?
Well, one of the things that I discuss in my piece is the number of people who have been charged so far in connection with the riots and the breaching of the Capitol. And there's fewer than 200 people who have been charged with any kind of assault or impeding of a police officer. The vast majority of people who have been charged, and it's about 600 people, and 500 and something of those have simply been charged with trespassing, a misdemeanor violation that carries no jail time. So we're talking about a very small group of people that made trouble that day and that sort of assaulted police, engaged with them, pushed past the barriers, broke windows, and forced their way into the Capitol. A very small number of people relative to the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who were there to peacefully demonstrate. The fact that the January 6th Select Committee is subpoenaing these people who applied for permits and got them tells you everything you need to know about this Select Committee and what the true purpose of it is.
And I think we're also seeing that already by the word going out that hunt down everybody, identify everybody we have on these cameras that were inside the Capitol, even if they're just walking through. They got there late. The doors are open. They don't know anything about the battle that went on, and I'm obviously against those
right.
who were fighting police to get through. But they get there. The doors are
That's
open.
Right.
Nobody's, and they're just walking in, well, you know, walking around. But their picture is there, so now they are considered part of the insurrection. And this was
exactly.
far from an insurrection. There was no effort to overthrow the government.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the people who were on the Capitol grounds that day who I talked to said that they were not even aware that the Capitol had been breached, and they didn't find out about it until they got back to their hotel rooms later that day because the cell service was really bad on the Capitol grounds, partly because there were so many people there. Nobody could get their cell phones to work. So,
yeah.
you know, a lot of the people, as you say, who ended up in the Capitol building had no idea what had happened. And the vast majority of people who were on the Capitol grounds had no idea of what had happened until much later in the day after they had already left the area.
But here was the effort. Here was the effort. And of course, again, it was wrong. It was not patriotic. We denounce it continuously. Of what took place in the way it went down in January 6th in the Capitol should not have happened, but we've had a summer full of violence across our nation, fully caught on video, assaulting police, throwing firebombs at them, trying to burn down a building where they know police are housed, and attacking federal facilities, and just has been no rush to judgment or to bring those people to justice.
That's right. In fact, you know, all throughout the summer of 2020, as we saw kind of, you know, these really unprecedented riots and attacks on federal buildings, especially in Portland. Time and again, we saw attorney generals reducing charges, throwing charges out, declining to prosecute. And these people got all the support from big tech and from the corporate press, and even from like public health officials and other government officials saying, oh, you know, this is, you don't have to worry about COVID if it's a Black Lives Matter protest because that's good for public health. But any other kind of gathering is dangerous because of COVID. So it's just this outrageous double standard that we see. And it's hypocrisy, but it's something else, too. It's also a way to communicate hierarchy, that if you're on the left, if you have approved opinions, then all sorts of actions, you can take all sorts of actions without consequences. But if you're on the right and you have unapproved opinions, then the book is going to be thrown at you. And that's what we're seeing with this January 6th thing. Not just the people who assaulted the police officers, they should be held accountable for whatever laws they broke, as you say. But people who have nothing to do with that are now going to get hauled before the January 6th Select Committee and be grilled in front of the nation by Democrats in the ridiculous show trial. That's why I say that the Select Committee is about persecuting people for exercising their First Amendment rights, and it's about suppressing free speech and silencing these people.
Well, of course, those are the opinions of John Daniel Davidson, a political editor for The Federalist, but the L.A. Times says you should consider maybe the voice of others, such as anti-Trumpers Liz Cheney and Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, and all of them are saying that this is the only way we're going to find out the truth. We're not trying to stall or keep anybody from having a freedom of expression, but to prove that this was an insurrection. John, you're not getting the big picture.
It's ridiculous when they say that, because it's not their job to, you know, find out what happened. We all know what happened. Many of us watched it happen as it was happening. The Department of Justice, in their proper role, is prosecuting people who broke the law. Now, arguably, they're being a little too zealous in that prosecution and really trying to throw the book at everyone who was even present in the Capitol that day. But the Department of Justice will get to the bottom of what happened. And if anyone broke the law, they will bring charges against them. That's how the system works. It's not for Congress to launch these theatrical, witch hunts that have only one purpose, which is political intimidation. That's not their role. And that's why Republicans, the vast majority of Republicans in the House, refuse to have anything to do with this sham committee.
It's interesting you said sham, because I'm looking at a piece from the House Select Committee, or at least the LA Times way described it, that said specifically that, saying this is not a partisan sham, as the former President Trump referred to, and just you did. But in the last 30 seconds, there are a lot of people that are being pulled into this. They're going to have massive bills. They're going to have this on their record. And they did nothing wrong, but they are now being told, as you said, you better watch your step going forward, because we've already got you caught once on one item.
I just want to reiterate, the people that they subpoenaed, one of whom I spoke to, a man named Nathan Martin, I talked to him back in January, a week after all of this happened. I just want to be clear, these people applied for permits. And they applied for permits and received them from the U.S. Capitol Police. That's the entity that issued these permits.
All right.
U.S. Capitol Police officers signed off on them, and everything was above board. And now these people are being hauled before Congress.
So it goes. As you said, pressure to silence them. Thanks again. John Daniel Davidson with The Federalist. Coming up, VP Harris, another fake action.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You guys are going to see. You're going to literally see the craters on the moon with your own eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
With your own eyes. I'm telling you, it is going to be unbelievable. So that's one of the things we can do here, too, which makes it so exciting. So that's what we're going to do. You guys ready to go over there?
Yes.
Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I'm going to be able to see the moon with my own eyes. I'm sorry. I would have thought coming from California and being out there with all the Hollywood elite that she could be a little bit better actress, a little bit better. My God. This is part of VP Harris's YouTube space series called Get Curious with Vice President Harris. Hey, watch what you watch. Don't do that. That's the title of it. I didn't make it up. It's called Get Curious with Vice President Harris. In this case, they were learning about space. They were going to be able to see the craters on the moon with their own eyes. And they looked like a bunch of children. Oh, we're so excited to be taking part in this. Now, keep in mind, first of all, it's obviously a staged event to that extent. You should have known that. But what's really catching fire is that folks are now realizing that these kids that were there, they're paid actors. They're all actors. In one scene, as you were hearing, Harris telling the children, you're going to learn so much. You're going to, quote, literally see the craters on the moon with your own eyes. With your own eyes, I'm telling you. And the kid actors appear genuinely excited. They're so excited. One of them, a 13-year-old Trevor Bernardino, Carmel, California teen, was one of the five child actors in that video, said he had submitted a monologue and interviewed for a role in the series. And after that, a week later, he said, my agent called and said, hey, Trevor, you booked it. You got it. So he and the other child actors rounded out the cast for the show. We could have just a little bit of honesty and there'd be no problem here and say, you know, it's a TV series and yeah, these are child actors. I mean, but they didn't volunteer that because they want you to believe that these kids and their reaction to VP Harris is so genuine that she's got them wrapped around her finger. When in fact, hey, I know how to act and get a paycheck. The other part of this, here is VP Harris taking part in this YouTube original series, Get Curious with Vice President Harris. Somebody really should have rethought that title, believe me. What are you doing tonight? Well, I'm going to get curious with Vice President Harris. Oh, really? Come on. Couldn't you rethink the title? I guess not. Anyway, the bottom line is, while she's busy looking at the moon, she's not looking toward our southern border, and I thought she was given that job. Was she not? And then, of course, we have all this PC correctness going on in our schools, and you're not getting any facts from anybody anymore. Senator Roger Marshall, Republican of Kansas, blasted the AP. They did a piece Saturday. He said that it was criticizing him because he's trying to shine light on the reality of natural immunity to the Chinese coronavirus. He said, but the AP and the others just don't want to deal with the real science. They want to peddle their story. So the AP joining it and peddling the story and looking to debunk Senate body that says natural immunity is something real. And VP Harris going around acting like this is a natural occurrence of all these kids getting so excited. And then in the Oregon school district, they voted to ban LGBTQ and Black Lives Matter flags because, you know, they're political science clothing, saying it's going to be too offensive. The only thing we're going to allow is U.S. flag. That's good. But in the midst of all of this, three math scholars are warning, while we're all wrapped up in VP Harris and get curious with her and having to fight to just say, I don't want the shot. I believe in my natural immunity. I'll take my chances. And are, I only want the U.S. flag in the classroom. I don't want all these other political things. Three math scholars are saying China is successfully escalating as a world's STEM leader, pushing kids into science, technology, while we prioritize woke social justice and diversity. Oh, and looking at the moon with our very own eyes. Which one you think is doing a better job of educating children? Don't bother answering. I can hear you. I hear you honking your horns out there, some of you. As always, we appreciate you listening. Let your friends and neighbors know you are making this program absolutely explode, and I appreciate it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.